agenda. Item number 15, pertaining to cobia and the commercial cobia fishery. Ms. Giorli.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So, I guess in the similar vein, last month I have a brief presentation to make before the item on the agenda, which is a public hearing for the commercial cobia closure that we had established through emergency amendments last month. Staff thought it prudent to make this presentation on what had happened last week. Virginia, the VMRC, had hosted the annual meeting of the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission, Norfolk, Virginia, and this, by coincidence, happened to be the very same meeting where the South Atlantic State Federal Fisheries Management Board was voting on the final measures for the complementary cobia fishery management plan. So the plan that would use the ASMFC's jurisdiction and authority to establish a plan that would be complementary to what the South Atlantic Fishery Management Council has in place in federal waters. So last Thursday on October 9th, the South Atlantic Board voted on that. And just a couple of the timeline pieces to lay out. By January 1st, each state must have a proposal or a plan of action that will be consistent with the measures that were voted on. And then by April 1st of next year, all of those states must have those measures implemented through whatever their process is. So in our case, it would be coming before the commission and saying we want, you know, this size limit, vessel limit, season, whatever. And so I'll go through some of this. I'll go through all the final measures that the South Atlantic Board of the ASMFC voted on last Thursday. The first three are pretty simple. There's nothing here that's going to really have any effect on Virginia. Minimum size of 36 inches fork length or equivalent total length, which most everyone, the South Atlantic Council and ASMFC, seem to agree that our 40-inch total length minimum size is all right. One fish per person possession limit. Virginia has had that for a long time, so that's nothing that should affect us. And the ASMFC voted to have a vessel limit no more than six per day. So the past couple of years, we've had things much more restrictive than six. We've had two per vessel per day. We've had three per vessel per day. And so we could still do those if we chose. The ASMFC plan just dictates that no state can have a vessel limit greater than six. So the more influential or more relevant votes were on the season and allocations, for lack of a better term. There were a few options. One was a hard quota system where state gets this number of pounds. If you go over in the year, you pay it back in the next. And the one other option that was actually voted on was something a little bit more lenient and less reactionary than that. And so in the plan, it's defined kind of like a recreational soft harvest target. And so what happens is the South Atlantic Council's ACL, annual catch limit of 620,000 pounds for the recreational sector, is still in effect. And so what the ASMFC has done is taken that 620,000 pounds and figured out how to split it up between the states. But it won't be, if you go over your slice in 2018, you have to pay it back in 2019. The ASMFC understands the variability in the MRF estimates, understands that one year could just be different than another. And so ultimately what this soft harvest target means is that each state will be considered over the course of a three-year average of harvest, so that if you have one big spike in MRIP, it's not necessarily the end of the world. It depends on what happens in the years around it. And the way the South Atlantic Board of the ASMFC had determined these percentages was by using a weighted five-year, 10-year average. And so that was only through 2015, before a lot of the management among the states got really, really screwy. And what this five-year, 10-year average means is that you're taking the 10-year average of a state's harvest recreationally, and then you're also weighting it against the last 5 years. And so the reason the board chose that instead of just a 5-year or just a 10-year is because many of the states, Virginia included, have had a lot of variability and have had, you know, like Jekyll and Hyde types of harvests over the last 10 years. So states that had high harvest from 2006 to 2010 versus 2011 to 2015, it kind of acknowledges what the board believed to be a fair and equitable compromise between all of those states. And so either way, at the end of the day, it gives Virginia 39.8% of the annual catch limit. So that equates to about 244,000 pounds. It is by a little bit the highest among the states. We get a little bit more than North Carolina, and then South Carolina and Georgia are right around 9 to 10%. Commercial regulations, the size limit, once again, it's not really going to be anything that affects us. It's the 33 inches fork length or equivalent total length, which is in line with what the VMRC has commercially for total length. The possession limit that the board voted on was 2 per person. I put an asterisk there because VMRC regulations require a commercial license, commercial card, to possess fish for the intent to sell, trade, or barter. And so obviously what we have is a little bit more restrictive. It's not necessarily a problem. It doesn't conflict in any way with what the ASMFC has voted. Once again, this is like you can't have anything looser than 2 per person type of thing. And they did vote in the vessel limit of no more than 6 per vessel per day, which is what VMRC already has anyway. And then the last set of votes that the South Atlantic Board had was de minimis regulations, and obviously the last couple of years the commission has seen that Virginia is far from de minimis, one of the biggest players in the fishery. However, one of the components of the vote does make our regulations particularly relevant for de minimis states. And so, as a reminder, de minimis is just a program that states can apply for if they have, in this case, less than 1% of the harvest over the past 3 years. And something that is a little bit out of the norm is that the South Atlantic Board of the ASMFC voted to only establish de minimis programs for recreational fisheries, with the idea being that if you're a commercial fishery and you're catching very few fish, just count it against the 50,000-pound component of the ACL. It's not going to be a big deal, because part of de minimis is that you're going to be accepting kind of stringent regulations to begin with. And so in this case, they're only doing it for the recreational sector. And if a state were to apply for de minimis, a state like Delaware, New Jersey, New York, even Maryland, they would be following a 29-inch minimum size, 1 cobia per vessel per day, and there would be no seasonal closure. The reason there's no seasonal closure is, once again, the idea is that these states are harvesting so few fish that if they run into a cobia, let them keep it. It's not a big deal. But they are being held to 1 per vessel per day, which is, like I said, much more stringent. And so the wrinkle that makes this a little bit more interesting from the Virginia perspective is that a state may choose instead to adopt the measures of the nearest non-de minimis state. And so Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia are all non-de minimis. The only states that would fall into this discussion are Maryland, Delaware, New Jersey, and New York, which are all north of Virginia. And so if a state chose to adopt the measures of the nearest non-de minimis state, it would by default have to be Virginia's regs. And so this has some relevance to Virginia just because of, you know, we have anglers who fish both in the Virginia and Maryland portion of the bay. And so for law enforcement purposes, it might be in Maryland's best interest to instead just adopt whatever Virginia's doing. On the other hand, they have this trade-off, because if they choose to become de minimis, they get to have a 29-inch size limit. That's something that Virginia voted against at the ASMFC meeting, just because, you know, felt that a 29-inch minimum size is a pretty small fish. That's 29-inch fork length, but it is small compared to what all the other states have. So if there are any questions on that, I can answer them. This stuff will be coming up, as I said, January 1st. Virginia needs to have its plan in place. We don't have to have it voted in by the commission process until April 1st, but staff will be working on putting together a package of regulations, much like we've done the past couple of years. It may be the same as last year. It may be different. But it does have to meet that 244,292-pound projection.
Questions or comments? Mr. Neal.
All right. So basically, we have to have our regulations in place by the March Commission meeting.
Correct.
And Commissioner Bull mentioned this earlier. Our MRIP numbers are looking good this year.
Last 2 years? Very much so. So the preliminary estimates for Wave 4, which is July, August, and MRIP terminology, that's Virginia's biggest wave of harvest. I forget the exact number, but I know that the annual number that we're at, counting May and June, is about 272,000 pounds. And so if you do the math, that's a little bit higher than what we would have been given under the ASMFC if that plan were in place this past year. But an interesting fact is that MRIP is assuming that the average weight of a cobia we catch is about 40 pounds. So if you were to look at the number of fish that MRIP is estimating, which is by MRIP's own admission the more reliable of the two, we would be under. And so the Southeast Fisheries Science Center of NOAA in years past has done its own average weight calculations that has diverged a little bit from what MRIP produces, just what you would get if you searched on the public MRIP website. And so what we plan to do is petition them to get that number out as soon as possible so that we know exactly what we're working with. Because the whole point of the ASMFC plan is it's complementary with the South Atlantic Fishery Management Council plan. And the South Atlantic Council goes by that Southeast Fishery Science Center adjusted average weight estimate. So that's what everyone's going to be working off of. That's what we're going to use for our projections when we try to establish the size and vessel and season limitations. And so that's probably the last piece of information that we're waiting on. But barring that, there's no reason why we can't have something in place with plenty of time.
Other questions or comments?
Good job.
Thank you.
I'm serious. I know this process has been painful. Y'all have been dealing with it at federal and regional and state, and you've had everyone yelling at you at every level, and good job.
Yeah, let me back that up. Rob, Joe, Ryan, you guys did tremendous work on this. It's been years to get to this point. Rob has traveled up and down the East Coast any number of times for this issue. This has been a hard-fought technical issue here to get fairness, and I think what's been achieved here is fair for Virginia, and it would not have happened without their work. The state-by-state share, where we get the majority of the share for the ACL, is long-term in Virginia's best interest, and it was their hard work, their analysis, their long hours, their numerous nights that made it possible.
In my head, I'm giving you a standing ovation right now.
I thought the commissioner was calling me up because I raised my hand to make a comment. I'm not up here for any other reason. But I do need to make a comment because we talked about this before. Last December, I was at the Mid-Atlantic Council, and the commission applied the mandatory reporting. And last month, Ryan talked about a little bit, and I did as well, that, you know, with about a 53-54% compliance, we know that our staff will be spinning like tops trying to address all those who want their 2018 permit. So please know, and of course you can shoot this down, but please know that when we come to you in March, part of what we'll be doing is changing the reporting, not to weaken it too much, because the staff's intent right now that we've talked about is to turn off essentially eligibility to someone who didn't report. When they contact us, they will be very nicely told, when you report, we'll turn on your eligibility. That's what we'd like to do this first time out of the chute. The other thing I want to mention is the commercial measures will take a little bit of work. Keep in mind what Ryan's slide said. It said two per person possession. We require a CFRL for possession. But we also spent a lot of time with the Hook and Line Task Force in 1995 and 2000, where we worked on crew so that crew could help assist the harvest. We are quite willing, Joe and I have already talked about this, to try and somehow mimic that procedure so that it won't change very much what's in place now where you can have six per vessel. But we do have to work on that. So I wanted to let you know that. The third idea is Joe's checked. Late February or February meeting of ASMFC is when we'll have a decision on our plan. That's why March is probably the perfect time to get this established in regulation for the following year. So thank you very much for listening to those three situations, and I appreciate it.
You've heard worse news.
Amen. Absolutely.
Let's move on to the commercial side.
Yeah, so this is the item on the agenda, which was last month. Commission had adopted through emergency amendment an October 1st closure for the commercial sector. Just a review. NOAA Fisheries is the one who makes this call for federal waters. They had projected that the 50,000 pounds would be met. They had their amount of federal reporting, and they had kind of done a little bit of extra homework to gauge approximately what had gone on in the state level reporting level, so stuff that NOAA had not received yet, and they realized that there probably would be an overage in the commercial ACL of 50,000 pounds. So they announced it on September 5th. Commission acted as fast as it could in the September meeting. And so Virginia's mandatory harvest reporting system, we have a number of 22,807 pounds for cobia. That's only complete through July. There's some August landings of people who report online or things that have been reported in the mixed category associated with crab or other things like that. So, you know, the point is Virginia and North Carolina have always, in the last 4 or 5 years, been bumping up against this commercial ACL. And so NOAA was probably being proactive by establishing this closure, and staff thought it was best to do the same in state waters just to lessen the blow. And so staff recommendation, I'll read it in. Staff recommends the commission make permanent the emergency amendments to Chapter 4 VAC 20-510-10 pertaining to amberjack and cobia to maintain an October 1, 2017 closure of the commercial cobia fishery. And the relevant section of the cobia regulation is subsection 25, and it required a little bit of reworking of the title, commercial fishery possession limits and season, to establish now that it's not just a year-round, but that there is now letter B, which says in 2017 it shall be unlawful for any person fishing commercially to harvest or possess any cobia after September 30th. And so staff has received no public comment, written public comment to this point, but that's all we've had up to this point. So that's all I have. I thank you for listening, and we'll take any questions if there are any.
Any questions from the commission? Thank you, Ryan. This is a public hearing. Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to be heard in this matter? Please come forward. How you doing, Chris?
All right, very well.
Good.
Good to see you, Commissioner.
Good to see you,
thank
sir.
You for having me. And first, I want to thank you all for having me and introduce myself. I'm Chris Ludford, commercial fisherman. Want to welcome new member, Chrissy, Miss Everett, excuse me. Welcome aboard. Great. Miss Lusk, I know she's not here. I know why she's not here. Double congratulations for her.
Yep.
Welcome back to returning members, and thank you for all your work. Thanks, staff. I'm not going to get into a bunch of history on the cobia. We know that, and hats off to them. It was a hard-fought battle, started 2 years ago. Recreational interest had a lot into it. All along, we've been watching it carefully from the commercial side. You know, you all know me and a lot of fishermen. You know, we move from fisheries and businesses. I've been charter captain. Right now I'm doing eco tours and oystering and still gill netting. you know, you got to be flexible. Always have been flexible. So I keep my eyes on the commercial end of it because myself, my mother, and my wife all hold gill net licenses, Class A. We also hold commercial hook and line licenses. With that, I'm glad we got to that at the end because that was going to be one of my first questions for staff is what are we doing today? And that is I found out the date. And that's what I read. I thought that would be adequate to see that. That answered that question. The only thing I could say to that, first off, what I would like to ask y'all to do is not vote on this today at all. We haven't had a FinFish meeting since August 28th. We'd love to get FinFish to look at this. I would love to entertain the idea of potentially having the commercial season, if there's going to be one, open later, maybe even later than the recreational season. I know people, especially in the pound net fishery and the gill net fishery, that would be interested in maybe a, and I'm not speaking for them today other than I'm saying I think they would be flexible, is to have our season open a month later and stay open a month later. Because in August, in October, even now, you have pound nets that are catching cobia, incidentally, many on the eastern shore, on the bay side. We have people who are catching cobia potentially in gill nets as they migrate late. So those fish would be discarded, unfortunately, potentially dead and wasted. So I would prefer October 15th, even a November 1st closure. I know that may run afoul of the federal requirement and may not even be possible. All I'm asking is that we have a chance to discuss that at the FinFish level where we normally discuss it as a commission. We have not had that chance. In the words and in a quote I'm speaking today on behalf of people like Scott McDonald, fish buyer, numerous restaurants in the Richmond area who are serving, preparing cobia, local restaurants on the Eastern Shore and Virginia Beach that are preparing and selling cobia. It's become quite a popular fish. We're trying to use it as an underutilized species, really. It's a very stable. It's in healthy numbers, as staff has proven. It's healthy numbers in Virginia. So, you know, we worry about any constraints, especially what's happened in the recent 2 years. You know, how do we get a gauge on what's a healthy fishery in Virginia when the regulations change so much, even on the recreational level? How do we get a gauge when we're constantly whittling away at what people can, what effort can be made? You know, now our basis is kind of like the pain threshold. You know, if you have back pain, you have back pain, you know, 12 months of the year, you get used to it. So, you know, the first year you have back pain, you say 1 to 10, your level of pain would be a 9. The next year you might call it a 7. Well, the same thing with cobia fishing. You know, we operate under these more stringent guidelines. The new norm becomes what? So what is a healthy fishery? So we want to be able to discuss that, you know, at the FinFish level as well. You know, I really am appalled at the 50,000-pound number. I'll be honest with you. I cannot speak strongly enough about that and how that number handcuffs the East Coast, in particular Virginia. I think that they've got a lot of people who probably don't report. Unfortunately, I know they should, especially in bigger fisheries like pound nets and gill nets. They maybe catch a cobia. It goes on their ticket, but they may not report it because that day they had 1,000 pounds of spot, right? You know, and I think our number is probably higher than that. I think that you know, hamstringing the coast on 50,000 pounds, there's no scientific basis. There's been a very poor amount of science used other than what our staff has produced. I mean, the shining star in the numbers that were used in this whole thing came out of probably Virginia's work. So not to take and beleaguer this point any longer, what I would ask in summation is that we could not do anything today until we have FinFish look at this, and let's talk a bit more about it. I'm not sure when the next FinFish meeting is.
So, Chris.
Yes, sir.
We can't accommodate your ask.
You cannot.
We cannot.
Okay.
This is to close the fishery, which we already did, mm-hmm. on October 1st.
Sure, as an emergency.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
And it was pretty much in keeping with the federal requirements to close the federal waters. So where we're at right now here is to codify the decision that we made last month to close in an emergency measure, mm-hmm. and here we are at the end of October.
Right.
So
my question is, would it go into 18, 19, 20 in perpetuity? No. It would not. No. Okay.
Well, then everything you're asking about for next year is perfectly good.
Okay.
This is just
for
bookkeeping
okay.
for this year. This is not going to next year.
Well, I appreciate the time to at least go on record and have my thoughts and those thoughts of the fishermen expressed, and I won't take any more of your time.
That's okay. Hey, Chris, a lot of what you're saying here I think also needs to be appropriately addressed to the South Atlantic Fisheries Management
Absolutely.
Council. Especially towards the commercial allocation, yeah. and that is mostly in federal waters here. I mean, that's where that fight is, whether we agree with it or not. These are kind of the restrictions that we're operating under in Virginia.
Yeah. So. Especially when they take and apply that to state waters, or they force us to apply it to our state waters. It's very unfortunate.
So
you need to
be more active on a federal level.
And you're right. And we've made that agreement today. And in numerous phone calls I made, and to quote Mr. McDonald, we're all in a million things. We're in a million fisheries doing a million things, and it's hard to keep up with it all. And poor attendance by us last week as well. And I wish it's embarrassing. I don't have an excuse. And
we're all busy. Yep.
Thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you.
This does not apply to next year. This is just a this year.
That's great. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Thank you.
The public hearing. Is there anybody else in the audience who wishes to be heard on this matter? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed, and the matter is before the commission for discussion and action.
Move to approve staff recommendations.
It's motion by Mr. Miner to approve the staff recommendation.
Second.
Second by Mr. Neal. Any discussion? Call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. The motion passes unanimously.